Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, and 109 shows later, I finally got to the ear. That just shows you how much there is to learn. We're going to get into the ear, as in hearing, as in you're losing your hearing, as in you've grown up with chronic ear infections, as if you've got that thing we call tinnitus, the ringing in the ear, the swooshing in the ear, sounds in the ear, water in the ear that you can't get out. Something crawls into your ear and you don't know what it's doing there and you can't get it out. The ear. Cranial nerve number 8, the cochlear nerve, from the brain supplies the electrical force to the ear. First thing you need to know about the ear is to get on the website, straighttalk.cc. As always, as much as you can handle it, I'm going to teach you to the pictures. So if you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. That's with two T's, .cc, not .com. If you're one of my wonderful regular listeners, then you know what to do. You're looking at approximately 12 pictures, and you're going to take the cursor and put it on the picture. The picture will blow up, and you can follow as I talk. A picture's worth 1,000 words. Today's show, a picture's worth 2,000 words. So get on the site if you can. If you can't, if you're just not computer savvy, you're afraid to do it, you haven't taken the great leap into the 21st century, then do this. Just listen and imagine. I'll speak it from both angles. It's the turn of the century, 1900. Let's go back to 1900. It's 113 years ago. I want you to do this as the morning's meditation. Top 5 causes of death. Birthing children. Infant mortality. Pneumonia. Diabetes. That's 1900. It's before antibiotics. It's before doctors used drugs. There were a few drugs back then. There was practically no surgery, and an auto mechanic could do surgery back then. It was so crude. At the turn of the century, we thought that the bones of the cranium, the cranial bones, were one big unit. We didn't know that we could take apart the skull. We didn't know that we could take apart the bones of the skull. That's picture number 10. If you blow that up, you look at the skull. The cranium is a bunch of individual bones. Now, we've talked about this before. The skull is a bunch of individual bones. If you knock yourself on the forehead, that's the frontal bone. If you hit yourself on the side, just tap yourself on the side of the head. Just above the ear, you're looking at the parietal bone, the temporal bone. In the back of your head, there's the occipital bone. The jawbone is called the mandible. To each side of your nostril, of your nose, is the maxillary bones. The sharp points on the cheeks, that's the zygoma, the zygomatic bone. Point is, you can take apart the entire skull into separate bones. Again, in 1900, this wasn't understood. British anatomists from England, British anatomists felt that the bone was one fused piece of wood, that there was no way to separate it. Italian anatomists argued. The argument went on, and finally, today we understand certainly that all of the bones of the skull come apart. We take them apart in dissection. This is key to understanding the ear, because there's a bone that your ear sits in. The organ we call the ear sits in a bone called the temporal bone. Temporal bone. Now, of course, I've put a picture of that. So if you're on the site, you have to look at that picture number 10. You just put your cursor on it, blow it up, and that orange bone is called the temporal bone. It says Rohan, R-O-H-E-N. His pectoral of the cranial bones show an orange bone just in the area of the ear, and that bone's called the temporal bone. We can take that bone out, and if you look at picture number 12, you see the temporal bone actually taken out. So if you're not on the computer right now, just touch your earlobe and then touch the top of your ear. And then just put your hand on the hard bone behind the ear. Well, spreading out a couple of inches in all directions, you can actually pull that out of your skull. It's a separate bone. Why is that important? I'll tell you why that's important. Because if you're going to respect all the symptoms you run to your ENT with, all the money you've spent on chronic ear infections, it seems so simple, doesn't it? And yet the number of people that I see suffer with chronic ear infections, with years of tinnitus, people going deaf and they don't understand why. And yeah, I'm harping on it once again, the cranial rhythms. Look at picture number one, and you're going to see the ear itself, which we're going to divide into the outer ear, the middle ear, and the inner ear. Now, somewhere in your education, you've heard about the outer ear, the middle ear, and the inner ear. I don't know about you. The nuns taught me back in the sixth grade. Remember the bones of the middle ear? Those teeny weeny little bones? The hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup? I've got those pictured also. The malleus, the incus, and the stapes, smallest bones of the body, comprise the middle ear. They sit just behind the eardrum. So if you look at that picture number one, or just stick your fingers in your ear, if you take a Q-tip, pull out a Q-tip, and stick that Q-tip into your ear. Don't be ridiculous about it, but stick it in until it's comfortably snug, till it can't push anymore, till common sense tells you you shouldn't go any deeper. We've all cleaned our ears so we can do this. At the point where you can't push that Q-tip any deeper, you're starting to press the Q-tip against the tympanic membrane or the eardrum. If you were to burst through that eardrum, and yes, eardrums burst, right? We've known people who burst their eardrum at high altitudes. If you decompress from a high altitude too fast, you can burst your eardrum. The pressure change is so rapid that the membrane that we call the eardrum, the tympanic membrane, bursts. So there's no separation then from your ear into what's on the other side of that membrane. That's the malleus, the incus, and the stapes, or the hammer, the anvil, the stirrup, as we used to call them. Those are the three little bones of the middle ear. When those bones don't vibrate correctly, when those bones become arthritic, here's the education. Here's the education that we whittle down to common sense. We don't have to talk in big terms. We can just break it down. When the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup, the bones of the middle ear, begin to develop arthritis, you start to lose your hearing. That's fascinating. That's fascinating to me. The same thing we call arthritis in the knuckles of your hands or your shoulder or your low back is the same thing, and biochemically it's the same process that begins to happen to those bones of the middle ear. They don't vibrate correctly. Vibration. You have to think of those bones, and I hope you're looking at them. If not, just imagine them. You have to think of those bones like little guitar strings. And those guitar strings have different frequencies, meaning they vibrate to different sounds. And when a vibration from somebody dropping a glass or honking a horn, when that vibration goes into your ear, down the ear canal, vibrates the tympanic membrane, vibrates the eardrum, it vibrates those bones. But those bones, God positioned. Yes, God is involved. Remind your scientists and doctors, God is involved here. the genius of this is not human. The genius of this is divine. Those vibrations go across the tympanic membrane, and they hit each bone of the ear. And depending upon the shape of that bone, its position in that eardrum, the bone will vibrate to the specific frequency of the sound coming in. And this vibration is picked up by the nerve, the cochlear nerve, the auditory nerve. Hopefully you're looking at the picture so you can see this big piece of Ronzoni spaghetti with little tiny microscopic fingers touching these bones, touching everything. And the mechanical vibration is converted into an electrical signal that the brain recognizes, and that identifies the sound. So if you're blindfolded and somebody breaks a glass, your brain knows what that sounds like. And that vibration from the glass goes into the ear, vibrates those bones. Those bones receive it at the frequency they're designed to receive it. So one bone doesn't receive it like the other. That's why you have three. And then that sends an electrical signal. There's a mechanical initiator that transfers to an electrical signal, mechanical to electrical, mechanical energy to electrical energy. That transmission is occurring all the time on so many levels in the body. So your ear nerve, auditory nerve, cranial nerve, number eight, it sucks up that mechanical vibration, and then something goes on in the brain that flip-flops the signal around and tells you what broke, even though you can't see it. Absolutely fascinating. Now, here's the point. Calcium hydroxyapatite, calcium oxalate, calcium oxalate kidney stones, the kidneys, the ear. Oh, boy. I just said a mouthful. Do you get it? The kidney reflexes to the ear. We know that. It's fundamental to many perceptions in medicine that kidneys ear. And what it's really saying is one of the grains, the granulations, that's supposed to be taken out of the blood by the kidney is calcium oxalate. First, we don't want to make that. Just like we don't want to make calcium hydroxyapatite. When we say arthritis in the joint, we're looking at crystals, uric acid crystals, calcium hydroxyapatite crystals. We're looking at crystals that shouldn't be there, crystals that have precipitated out of the blood because the chemistry is incorrect. Check my other shows on this. Anything I've done on the bone and the joints and the kidney, just about anything I've done on anything, we're always talking about precipitation, meaning in that liquid medium called the blood, whew, emerges these crystals looking for a place to hang themselves. Out of that imbalance in your blood chemistry, we deposit calcium oxalate, calcium hydroxyapatite. We deposit it into the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. The bones of the middle ear ossify. They become one. They should be three. They become one. Ossification. With arthritis, ossification of your fingers. You can't move your fingers. To move your fingers, it hurts. You see these lumps on your fingers? That's ossification. Precipitation out of the blood into the joints. The bones of the middle ear, what ages you, what makes you deaf, why you're getting progressively hard of hearing, so on and so forth, is often an ossification process of the bones of the middle ear, no different than arthritis. Why did it hit your ear? Why did it hit your ear? I hope you can follow this. Why your ear? Why doesn't your medical doctor tell you about this? He might think, well, the body ossifies all over, so ossification can't be the issue for you. In other words, we don't call deafness often arthritis in the ear. We just call it you're losing your hearing and we'll slap a hearing aid on. And if one were to claim, if I were to argue, as I do now, that basically half the reason you lose your hearing as you age is because of arthritis of these three bones, someone would say, undoubtedly, that that's not true. And they'd argue that it's not true simply because ossification is so common to the body. It's so general to the body that why would it single out your ear? It's in your hands, it's in your feet, it's in your spine. It's just the normal process of aging. So how can we just relegate that to the ear and call that the source? Well, you see, where they're not thinking, but where you're thinking is, suppose, now just supposing, those cranial rhythms, the natural vibration between the temporal bone. So look at that bone, the temporal bone. Understand your whole ear is encased in that bone. That temporal bone, as it relates to the parietal bone, as it relates to your jawbone, as it relates to your sphenoid bone, that the overall vibration of the bones of the cranium is stuck shut. And because it's stuck shut, the drainage, the ability of that area, the inner ear, the middle ear, I should say, to drain the metabolites that will otherwise produce arthritis is stunted. That's a lot. I'm going to say that again. Get on that website, straighttalk.cc. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If this is the first time you're on the show, welcome. Get to the pictures. That middle ear with those bones is trying to compensate for your faulty chemistry so that the deposition of calcium hydroxyapatite, calcium oxalate, whatever other granules, it'll snag up some uric acid, who knows, bacteria, pus, dead blood cells, whatever, that formulates into one big glob of snot, coating those bones, killing their natural ability to vibrate, ossifying them at their joint spaces. The body knows this. The body's looking for a way to reverse it, to compensate for it, to stop it from happening. You know what that's called? It's called your cranial rhythms. It's called that temporal bone as it relates to the mandible, as it relates to the parietal bone, to the frontal bone, to the occipital bone, that the joints between these bones, joints that the English said didn't even exist, joints that we don't respect, that the motion between the sutures would take care of the ossification and stop it. You must be dancing around the room right now. This is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating that we wouldn't nail this. This should get nailed to the wall. This is reality. This is exciting. Turning this around in your body is where it's at. Why? Because you got hit in the head as a little kid with a baseball bat. Because you fell off the side of a cliff 100 feet. Because you were in a car accident. Because you were a martial artist. You were a football player. You've been getting so many slams to your head right now, you can't even remember how many. It doesn't have to be big accidents. It can be little ones, just sparring with your friend. A couple of elbows to the head playing basketball. Any of these things will do what? Destroy your cranial rhythms. You've lost three or four of your teeth. Your bite's off. You clench at night. All these different reasons will implode, will collapse the sutures between these all-important bones. You think your eye takes a beating from this? Your eye's relatively happy there with 12 bones forming the orbital socket. But the ear is encased in the temporal bone. Here's something you do. Take your loved one, lie them on a couch or a bed, face up. You sit behind them at the head. Yes, you can do this. Just take your two fingers and attach them to their earlobes and pull the ears out straight. Then touch the top of the earlobe, pull the earlobes out to the top of their head. Then touch the bottom there by the earlobe and pull the ears down. So pull the ears directly out, pull the ears up, pull the ears down. Down and out and out, up and out. Three different lines. Some of you are going to scream right in that first half a millimeter. You're going to go, ouch. With some of you, you can pull and pull and pull. Free bottle of Carl. Aloe, vitamin D. The first person that does this, but you have to include the magic word. You have to tell me, there's your quiz. You've got to tell me, if you were to do this, if you were to lie on your back, and yes, I've given away a dozen bottles, we do fulfill these claims I make. Bottle of Carl, aloe, vitamin D, the quantum trio, to your door, free. If you can answer this question, I want you to lie your loved one on the back, and I want you to take your fingers and pull your ear out. Touch the ear lobe and pull the ear directly out as far as you can go without it hurting somebody. We've all done foot massage with a loved one. You don't hurt them. Just pull it out as far as you can go. Then touch the top of the lobe, pull it up and out as far as it can go, and pull it down and out. Now pull it. Pull it a little harder. Pull it till you get some good pain. All right, the first two people. But here's the point. You have to tell me what I want to hear you tell me. If you do that, if you make that manipulation on your loved one. In fact, guess what? You could probably do this to yourself. So maybe I should include, you can do it to yourself, but you've got to know what I'm asking you here. I want you to tell me what you're supposed to feel when you pull that ear out. And I want you to be honest with me and tell me if you feel it or if you don't feel it. Now that's as much as I can give you without giving it away. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. StraightTalk.cc on your radio show. This is a different radio show. But this is the future of radio. Pretty soon we'll be doing this on video so you can tune in and see my big fat face in person, or I guess I should say on air live. So we'll give you that option too. I don't know how crazy I am about that option. I kind of like the mysticism of radio. Okay. British anatomists thought your skull was fused. It's not fused. Those bones separate. The outer ear to the eardrum takes the vibration, transfers that vibration to the middle ear of those three bones, malleus, incus, and stapes, picture number 4. Hammer, anvil, and stirrup, back in the old days, picture number 4, you can see it. Those bones ossify. Check my shows on arthritis. Same reasons you get arthritis, same reasons you ossify up in the head. Why you in the head and not someone else? Because you got hit in the head. Because you've got plastic surgery and they got a huge scar behind your ears. Because your teeth don't fit correctly. Because your palate wasn't formed right. Because you've had chronic infection. And that infection is inflammation, and inflammation causes the deposition of fibrin. I hope you can understand this, because it's so much what it's about. Inflammation to chronic infection. Chronic infection, you haven't nailed to the wall. You haven't gotten rid of it. It comes back once or twice a year. You're a surfer, so you live with it. You're a swimmer, so you live with it. You're a whatever, so you live with it. It's related to infections in the teeth, so you live with it. Well, over a period of years, the inflammatory process in the ear will depose fibrin and scar up those bones so they don't vibrate correctly. That's big. Now, that middle ear, it wants to drain itself. It wants to drain itself from all this garbage. Mucus, dead cells. Grains of calcium. It wants to drain it. What will it drain it through? It'll drain it through the lymphatic system. if you want solution, right, skip the theory, right? You want solution. If you want solution to problems, chronic, debilitating infection that you can't get rid of, pending, progressive hearing loss that you're not stopping, look at the lymph of the neck, the lymph of the neck. Let's put it together a little bit. Suppose your head shunts forward. Suppose you have anterior head carriage. Suppose your neck is always forward. Common theme in my shows. You're going to crush your lymph. Suppose the fascia, the connective tissue of the neck, is so bound up together that you can't drain your lymph. If you can't drain the lymph of the neck, how can you drain the lymph of the ear? Picture number three, if you blow it up, it's got a nice Netter shot, Frank Netter, of all the lymph nodes around your neck and ear. Every single little yellow bead you're looking at takes all the mucus and other kinds of garbage out of the inner ear, out of the middle ear, drains it through those nodes, drops it into your venous system, and it takes it out of the body. If for a multitude of reasons those lymph gets stuck, you can't drain the ear. So we're talking about the ecology of the ear, the ecosystem of the ear, the terrain of the ear. Oh, what herb can I take to help my hearing? What surgery can the doctor perform to help my hearing? What hearing device can I use to help my hearing? It doesn't matter. Whether it's holistic medicine looking for the herb, or it's allopathic medicine looking for the drug, or the device, or the surgery, it's all off base. See, this is why the theory is so important, because the theory, the philosophy, results in action. Righteous action comes off the depth of your understanding. Righteous action comes off the depth of your understanding. Philosophy, theology, creates motion. We're pragmatists, especially in America. We tend to forget that. Philosophy is something we don't tell our children to learn. Theology is something we don't tell our children to learn. And yet they've driven human evolution from the beginning of time. How you see it is how you act upon it. So you have to understand that understanding the guts of the anatomy, the structure, is how you understand how to move upon your problem. If you've had head trauma, you have to take a look at that as it relates to your ear. If you've got problematic problems of drainage, you have to look at that. Stick out your tongue. We did a show on tongue recently. Stick out your tongue. If it's greasy, oily, big yellow and white curds on it. Yellow-white curds on the tongue. That yellow, yes, you tongue coat. I know you scrape your tongue in the morning, so you've already forgotten. What you're wiping off on that tongue scraper is stuck in your ear. That's what the Chinese and Ayurvedics were saying in their medicines. You want to know what's going on in your ear? Look at your tongue. And this is the point. If you can't drain the ear, it's going to show up on the tongue. Yellow, damp curds. That's what gets stuck in your ear. How about that gallbladder? What about the gallbladder? What do you think the gallbladder does? The gallbladder, once you have biliary patency, show number 20, once the bile flows, the ear drains. Boy, is this wacky. Some guy on radio said, to fix your ear, you got to clean your gallbladder. How could it be that things are so interrelated like this? This is the issue. Functionally, when you look at the function of healing, when you out there sitting in deafness or tinnitus want to cure yourself, it's the marvel that you have to evolve at how interrelated things are. But in the trenches, it's a Monday afternoon and you're doing your coffee enema. Or it's a Tuesday night and you're swallowing olive oil, and then this isn't so glorious. That's where the rubber hits the road, the depth of your understanding. The gallbladder is there to suck out mucus. The kidney is there to suck out granular sediment. Well, that's why we have kidney stones. Gallstones are big chunks of snot. Kidney stones are powdery conglomerations of calcium oxalate or calcium phosphate, calcium hydroxyapatite. All those calcium granules tend to collect in the kidney. Yes, they'll go out the gallbladder too, collectively. You want to keep the ear clean. You've got to have patency. I didn't say, oh yeah, I know, I've done a liver flush. No. You have to take your process to critical mass. You have to be able to measure the efficacy of the therapy to your physiology. You have to measure the efficiency of the therapy to your anatomy and physiology. That means if you say you're covered because you've done a gallbladder flush, you have to show patency through that system. When you swallow that olive oil or do that enema, you have to blow out a lot of yellow-green stuff. Check my shows if you don't know what that means. Now, the kidney, when you go in and do the various kidney cleanses, a week or two of semi-fasting with different types of herbs to clean that kidney, you got to take it to where you feel little tinges in the ureter, little tinges as you urinate. You've got to take it to where you say your knees feel better, your ankles feel better, your joints feel better. You've got to take those cleanses of the kidney to the point where you can measure them against your physiology. Otherwise, you're just reading words off page. You're not inhabiting the process. I don't care what ear problem you've got. Three things you think about. Drainage through the gallbladder. Drainage through the kidney. Note the kidney reflexes to the ear. And then drainage through the lymph. Anterior head carriage. Think about it. The neck comes forward. Check my last two shows. I've got tons of pictures. When we did the one on sleep apnea, we talked about anterior head carriage. Well, anterior head carriage, the forward evolution of the head. I've got some great pictures on my last show on this. The forward evolution of the head and then the retrofitting of the head on the occiput crushes the vagus nerve. And that condensation, because the head keeps coming forward and yet you have to keep your line of sight so you can see ahead instead of look down, that reconfiguration of your skull on your neck is devastatingly bad. We just call it old age. And then we call your deafness and your blindness just a consequence of aging. It's not a consequence of time passing. It is not a consequence of time passing. It's a consequence of the changes that are not addressed as time passes. Think about what I just said. What we call deafness, blindness, problems with the nose, anything from the head up, we call a consequence of aging. No, it's not. It's a consequence of not addressing the changes in the structure and in the chemistry that occur over time. That's how you think of it. And that is an optimism. That's good news for you. Because you can do something about that. You can't say I'm 80, but I'm going to go back to when I was 40. What you can do is change your biological time. You can't change your chronological time. 80 years is 80 years. But you can change your biological age. That's what you can do if you understand this. So if that head comes forward, forget your lymph. They're never going to drain. Lymph, biliary system, patency through the kidney. That's the ear. The same thing that drives arthritis, the precipitation of calcium out of solution will join into the middle ear and start to ossify those bones. Any knock to your cranial rhythm, any kind of head trauma, any type of problem with the bite will implode the cranial rhythm. Try that exercise with the ear. And so on and so forth. Now, we're just coming to the big part. Tinnitus and Meniere's disease, vertigo. Tinnitus and vertigo. Let's take a look at tinnitus and vertigo. Tinnitus, that's ringing in your ear, some buzzing sound in your ear that you just can't get rid of. That's related to a pitch. So that a pitch is the circulation and the overall vibration of an area that vibrates. If you have three bones that vibrate, hammer, anvil, stirrup. If you have three bones that are made to vibrate when you blow air into them, their vibratory status. So I'm going to introduce a word here specific to the ear now. The vibratory status of those three bones can determine many things. There's a frequency to the vibration of those three bones. If anything alters that frequency, if anything makes those bones vibrate in an aberrant pattern, you're going to have ringing in your ear. So we're going to really give you an understanding of tinnitus, and it's going to be specific to the person. But most fundamentally, you have to understand that tinnitus, you're looking at those bones. Picture number four, every one of my pictures of the ear, you can see the middle ear, the bones of the middle ear. In a normal ear, those bones, if we were to blow them up on the microscope, if we were to measure them in angstrom unit motions, beyond the micron, they're vibrating back and forth all the time. There's no such thing as those bones just stop moving. Dead zero, nothing. They have their own motion. They're in their own rhythm, and that rhythm is distinct from the rest of your body, truly. Anything, and I mean anything, that will significantly alter the vibratory status, we're going to call it, the vibratory status of those bones will start to make the ears ring. So, let's talk about examples. You know, when I do this on radio, it ends up sounding so simple. It almost makes me think that I shouldn't bother to say these things. I'm being completely honest here. And then I'll just think of the number of people that come in a month or 2 months and 3 months that live with tinnitus and nobody can figure out what's going on. And it's all because we don't apply basic principle. Case in point, people that clench. If you clench your jaw at night, if you have TMJ and you have tinnitus, one is causing the other. Now, I know very few people have told you that. Let me be and have the pleasure of being the first. Fix the clenching. There you go. You tell me my reasoning. You shouldn't figure that out now. If you're clenching, the mandible, so look at picture 9, blow it up. The mandible, the jawbone, fits into the ear bone. The ear bone is connected to the jawbone. That's right. If you clench, you jack up your jawbone. You send it backwards and up. You crush the temporal bone. If you crush the temporal bone reflexes a vibratory deficit into the malleus, the incus, and the stapes. There you are. So they don't vibrate the same way. If you've had head trauma, if you've had your head knocked from one side to the other, if you have plastic surgery, if your bite is crooked, if your palate is too narrow, five things I already mentioned. If you're not draining through the lymph of the neck because your head is stuck forward for a variety of reasons. If the combination of these things doesn't cause deafness, it can cause something that's not quite deafness. Just another aberration in the vibratory status of those bones, and you're going to get that as ringing in the ear. Ringing in the ear is just a symptom of a biochemical, biomechanical, so a nutritional deficit, a nutritional excess, or a biomechanical deficit, or an emotional issue causing clenching, which is a biomechanical issue causing another biomechanical problem, the tinnitus. You see, it's going to come down to understanding tinnitus at its root. Are you clenching because of your psyche? Do you just have physical scars from your plastic surgery? Remember, those plastic surgeries, as they lift your face up, they cut behind the ear. If you're doing that partner thing where you're pulling the ear and the male or female on the table or the bed with face up, if they've got those scars behind the ear and you pull those ears are going to scream. That's right. Get the clay on those ears. Rub that Medi Magma into those spaces behind the ears so that you can feel the energy. And if you can't, you haven't cleared that scar. The point is not to think you've cleared a scar. The point is to manipulate that part of your body to feel the release in the tissue. Then you know you've remediated something. You have to catch that. That's an important subtlety. But it's everything. So if you've got those scars behind your ear, you've got to take it so those ears can vibrate once again. And you can feel the warmth and circulation into that part of your body that's been cut off since you've been sliced. So you have to understand tinnitus, okay, as some ratio of an issue. Ratio, the chemistry of the body from lots of mucus to lots of granular deposition, to the biomechanics of the body from anterior head carriage to all the scars that develop from surgeries, from clenching, from head traumas, to the psyche underpinning it all. If the psyche is causing the anterior head carriage, look at how we can vary these things. The psyche causing the anterior head carriage. Yes, you sat there, the youngest of six or seven or eight, and because you were the youngest, no one listened. So the head sulked. It came forward and down. Your neck is too long, or you think it's too long, or you sit at a computer all day. People that are locked into grief, sadness, tend to slouch at the shoulders and bring the head forward. You can have as much emotion behind anterior head carriage, thus cutting off the proper mechanics to the ear, as you can have just normal, plain old biomechanical stress. And you're going to have to vary this specific to you. You're always looking at those four variables. So tinnitus that you have, that ringing, you've got to figure out your issue and address it in conjunction with the other amenities of health. Collectively speaking, you have to vibrate the tissue. You've got to put the tissue in fluid motion. Now, there's another type of tinnitus that's a little bit different than what I just said. It's a tinnitus that's caused by blood deficiency. Blood deficiency. And this is the thing. As blood circulates through the ear, it makes a sound. If you have an aberrant flow of blood, that aberrant flow will vibrate aberrantly or anomalously those bones. Those bones have their own, as I said, vibratory status. And that status is subject to the variations in blood flow. If you have an aneurysm up around those arteries into the ear, that aneurysm, if you have plaque in the arteries to the ear, plaque, if the circulation is twisted from plaque, yes, plaque formation on the inside of the arteries to the ear will change the sound of the flow of blood. If I know someone's plaqued in the coronary arteries, and I know somebody's got tinnitus, and I know somebody's a type A personality where they're constantly, you know, because they're driving their life so hard, bringing heat up from the liver to the head, I know why they have tinnitus. That's marvelous. What I just said is marvelous. Listen to that. If I have someone that I know is plaqued up in the coronary arteries that comes for the problem of tinnitus, ringing in the ear, I know that they're plaqued in the ear. And I know that their type A personality, which will merit itself out through the liver, will create heat in the liver, and that heat will rise. And the rise of the heat combined with the plaque will turn the blood of the ear into a swirl, a maelstrom, a vortex of improprietous circulatory flow. And that's your tinnitus. So one of the ways you understand tinnitus, which is just a slant on what I was just saying, is anything that will abort or misdirect blood flow. Now, there's a certain kind of blood flow that people don't think about, because it's the blood flow that comes from the absence of blood flow. If you push the right amount of water through a pipe, it makes a sound. If you push too much water, it makes a sound, but the sound is different. If you put less water through the pipe, it makes a different kind of sound. You got to understand that. Well, we say, in different forms of medicine, that the tinnitus can come from blood deficiency. The blood is weak. The blood is too light. The blood is too much like water. It's not heavy. It's light. Severe anemia causes tinnitus. Usually, if you've got a tinnitus, a ringing in the ear from a deficit of blood, you're going to have an anemia that goes with it. Doesn't have to be iron deficient anemia. It can be B12 deficient anemia. Any of the components of the blood that aren't there. It could be protein deficiency. So the albumin levels of the blood are light. It can be anything we call blood deficiency can create tinnitus from improprietous flow through that area. That's a lot. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. StraightTalk.cc. Get to the website for the pictures. 949-873-2127. 949-873-2127. If you're spinning around in circles, which often you are, make an appointment. Come in, see me, get the counsel. If you just come one time, you'll get much. You'll get direction. At least you'll get comfort and peace of mind as someone puts it together specific to you for you. See, without that, you're spinning in the dark. Nobody's piecing it together because it's, well, that's a gift to be able to piece it together. But you get started and use your gifts and you piece it together for yourself. And if you can't put the pieces together efficiently to critical mass, 949-873-2127, I'll put them together for you and we'll make a plan and go on the dance. Tinnitus from blood deficiency. Deafness from blood deficiency. The accumulation of mucus. The accumulation of grainy granular tissue. Inability of that area in the ear to drain itself from anterior head carriage. Vibratory deficits of the temporal bone. Those vibratory deficits being caused by the fact that you have been hit in the head. Car accidents, sports accidents, imbalances in bite, clenching the jaw. That symptom's got a portfolio. There's a concept, ding, ding, concept. That symptom, tinnitus, that symptom, progressive hearing loss, that symptom has a portfolio. In that portfolio is the ratio of causes. There's no one cause. It's the amalgam. Work your portfolio out. Get a piece of paper and a pencil, the good old-fashioned way, and create your portfolio. That's what I want you to do with me for all of these shows, because that's how you learn you. Now. Vertigo. Dizziness where the world, the room spins. Imbalance where you can't stand up, where you get nauseous. Meniere's disease. Doesn't have to just be Meniere's disease. Just a chronic vertigo. Often the room spins, causes nausea. Another part of the ear we're in now. We're in the organ of Corti. Don't you love that name? The organ of Corti. The inner ear. Got the outer ear where you stick the Q-tip. You've got the membrane, the drumstick, the eardrum. On the other side, you've got the middle ear, hammer, anvil, stirrup, malleus, incus, stapes. And then you've got the inner ear. If you're looking at the website, look for that thing that looks like a snail. It's called the cochlea. It looks like a big snail just swirled around and around and around. Now look at that black and white picture, picture 13 and picture 14. In the snail is something called the organ of Corti, C-O-R-T-I, the organ of Corti. That's picture number 13 and picture number 14 on the website. And if you don't have the website, just imagine deep in the air are a bunch of hairs. You're looking at the picture, it says the outer hair cells and the inner hair cells. In the organ of Corti, of the inner ear. If you've got vertigo, if you get nauseous, if you've been diagnosed with Meniere's disease, what's happening is those inner hair cells don't flow anymore. They don't flow. When you bend down to pick something up, those hair cells, which need to move freely, sway a certain way, and fluid goes over them. And when you stand up, those hair cells flow the other way, and fluid goes over them. There's a fluid, viscous liquid that lubricates these hair cells as you go back and forth, up and down, turn your head down, turn your head up. Those hair cells flow. You want to understand Meniere's disease? You want to understand vertigo? For a multitude of reasons. Those hair cells in the organ of Corti don't flow anymore. They get stuck. Something grows in between them. Grains and snots. Mucus. Things get in there. Things depose. Doesn't this sound familiar? Doesn't it sound like your fingers? Doesn't it sound like your knees? It does. It is. And this is my point. If you want to understand holistic medicine, understand that your joints are your ears. Understand that your joints are the hairs in the organ of Corti. Understand that the mucus that keeps these hairs too stuck, or the granulation that takes place, when people donate their bodies to science, we grab that body, slice it open, pull out those tissues, stuff them under microscopes, and look at them. And if your specialty is the ear, you study these changes. You say, gee, it's interesting here. This guy had Meniere's, this guy had Meniere's, this guy had Meniere's, this guy had Meniere's. Now we cut it open and look at it, and we're seeing a pattern here. Now, what is that pattern under the microscope? Gee, it looks just like any other part of the body that's become decayed and decrepit with mucus and granular deformation. So why is it a mystery? Stick out your tongue and look for that big layer of greasy snot yellow on the tongue. That's your ear. Again, you're dealing with the same application. Holistic medicine will go in, true holistic medicine. The Sherlock Holmes style. We'll go in and look at your Meniere's disease, your vertigo, the spinning of the room associated with nausea. People get these attacks once, twice a week for years. It's debilitating. It changes the currency of your life. And yet, they'll eat carbs and other grease forming foods that produce nothing but inflammatory response, not taking into account that the same side of their face that the ear hurts is the same side where their teeth have decay or root canals that haven't resolved or bite problems or head traumas or plastic surgeries, and not understand that those hairs cannot drain out the mucus or the granular formation simply because the cranial rhythms are off. Or that the balance of the vibration of the temporal bone in the skull cannot match the glue that we keep stuffing onto these cells. That's big. Really big. Holistic medicine doesn't get so differential about the specific histological problem from disease to disease. It looks at the commonality behind the histological problems, big word for what's under the microscope, and it tries to tie together the laws of righteous living to the imbalances we see. And if those laws are accorded, the body will regenerate itself. That's holistic medicine. That's why you listen to this show. That's why you've got the edge. 949-873-2127. I'm starting a fourth school, a fourth class. The three are filled, and we're going strong. And we're going to start number four. Call that line, 949-873-2127. I'm doing one more class. I can handle four classes for your education, which is what you need, because believe you me, after 20 years of doing this, relentlessly trying to get the point across, I am thoroughly convinced you can't if you don't make the time to get the education. God bless you. I'll see you next Saturday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.